this morning. In the sermon, we'll be doing something a little bit different than we usually do. We usually take a bit of a larger passage and work through it, sometimes a chapter, sometimes multiple chapters. But this morning, essentially, we are going to spend our time and give our attention to one particular phrase in these verses. So let's read together verses 14 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you, we adore you, we give praise to you, we give thanks to you as the one true God, the only living God, the only loving God, the only redeeming and gracious and holy God. And Lord, if you did not reveal yourself to us, we would not have any way of knowing you. If you did not come to us in the person of your Son, we would have no way of fellowship with you, no way to dwell with you in relationship, no way to know you as Father. And Lord, now as we give our attention to your word, I pray that you would come by your Spirit, that you would do your work, that your word would accomplish that for which you sent it, that its purpose would be accomplished here and now, even as we hear these words, even as we dwell on them, even as we hold fast to them, Lord. It's for your glory and our joy, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as you've probably spent some time in your life thinking about, at least for a few minutes, many of you maybe for a lot of time, is that as men and women, boys and girls, as human beings created in the image of God, we are beings who communicate with language. We are a speaking and hearing, a communicating people. And communication through language, if you stop to think about it for a few moments, is a fascinating subject. Communicating through language is part of who we are as human beings made in the image of God. And as we think about the human capacity to learn and speak in languages, it's amazing. And some of you might think, well, capacity, I don't know, I speak one language. I tried learning French in high school. After four semesters, I can still only ask how to go to the bathroom. And yet, even if that's you, even if you have struggled to learn a second language in your life, each and every one of you have learned and can communicate profoundly in one language, and you're not even conscious of having learned that language. God has designed you and created you and brought you into the world as one who could only make small sounds, and yet now you can not only speak in language, you can think in words. You can communicate images through vocalizing syllables. And even if you have a fairly limited vocabulary and use most simple of sentences, you can communicate a broad range of emotions. You can express desires. You can pass on a vast array of simple and complex instructions through words, through sound waves that come out of your mouth and bounce off of everything and go inside another person's head and they understand what you're saying most of the time. You can provide an almost unending supply of information through the written and the spoken word. And so communication through language is part of who we are as human beings. It's part of the capacities that God has given us when He created us in His image. And I don't know if you've ever thought of how many words you speak just in one day or one week or one month. Obviously, there would be a variety among us. Some here would speak quite a few more words than others, dependent upon personality, relationships, what you do during the day for work or for study. But all of us speak many, many words through any given day. And if you add up all of the things we say and write in a year, it would be tens and hundreds of thousands, if not millions upon millions of words. And then if you stop to think about how many words you hear or see in one day, again, it's going to change based on your lifestyle. And yet each and every one of us is basically under a constant stream of words, written words, audible words, words in songs, words on the radio, words on the television, words from siblings and parents and children, spouses, friends. We live in a world of words, both written and spoken. And most of those words that you're going to hear and see throughout your life, the hundreds of thousands of words that will come past your eyes and through your ears even this week, most of them just pass you right by. They drift right on through. Right? It's like the water in a river. You sit there and you watch the water and it's just going by. And you're not really picking out, you know, one water molecule, paying specific attention to that. It's just streaming on past. It's coming by. And yet, where I grew up, we had a river, and most of the time the water flowed right on by without much ado. Sometimes it was really muddy. Sometimes it was more clear. And yet sometimes in that river, there was more than water. There were sticks and branches because there had been lots of rain upstream. Indeed, sometimes there were 120-foot trees coming down the river. And then you took notice of what was passing by you in this river. It drew your attention. It captured your thoughts as you watched that tree twist and turn and ram into the side and turn and get stuck and then keep going. There were things that were exceptional in the river. And the same thing happens with all these streams of words that are constantly passing us by on any given day and any given week and any given year. We not only see and hear many words, but particular words we cling to, we grab on to. When I was in high school, one of the people who served as principal of the school shared a story of words that he heard when he was in school. I think he was in junior high, but he was taken aside by a teacher, him and a friend, and they were told that they were going to amount to nothing. They were taken aside for the purpose of being told, you know what, you guys are a train wreck, your life is a waste, and you will not accomplish anything in your life. Nothing good is going to come from you. You're just a mess up, and that's it. Obviously, those words had a strong impact on this individual. He had held on to those words. That's why I know those words that were spoken to him decades before I ever knew him, right? These words were powerful in his life. And you've heard many words that you have clung on to, that you have brought with you, that still shape you in your life. Some of them are words like the words that were spoken to that man, words of criticism, words that were designed to tear you down. And you cling to them in a negative sense. They still wound you. They still hurt you. You carry them as a burden. There's also words that have been spoken into many of your lives that you cling to, words of praise, words of affirmation, words confirming you in particular gifts or directions, maybe words simply praising something that you did. And you've clung to those words as well. They have shaped you also. We might think that one side of that balance is negative and one side is positive, but I think when we think about it, either side of that balance can have negative impacts on us. Maybe you cling to positive words that have been spoken into your life because you crave the praise of people. Maybe you've been puffed up by words that have been spoken to you in praise. But either way, we cling to certain words. We hold on to them, and they inevitably shape our lives. They shape what we're about. In this passage of Scripture, Paul talks about holding fast to a particular word. You look there in verse 16. Paul mentions holding fast to the word of life. Now, the first question we might ask is, why would we focus on this little phrase? Why would we spend time focusing on one little piece in a passage? And there's a number of reasons we could give, but the main reason I want to give is that this little phrase that we're going to focus our attention on this morning is tied to something glorious. It's the instrument of something else. It's the means to an end. See, Paul says that the people to whom he's writing, these Christians, these believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, live amidst a crooked and twisted generation. And that's our context as well. We always think we're special and we're unique in that the world is just such a terrible place in our time. And yet, just as Paul could say in the first century that these Philippian believers lived in the midst of a twisted and crooked generation, so we live in the midst of a twisted and crooked generation. Thanks, brother. The same as the Israelites in thousands of years before Paul was writing could be talked about as being a twisted and crooked generation. This is the context of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. The crookedness and twistedness of our generation may look a little bit different than the generation before us and the six generations before that and 10 generations after we're gone. And yet until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, each and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will find themselves amidst a twisted and crooked generation. And yet, Paul says, among that twisted and crooked generation, you shine as lights in the world. believers in the Lord Jesus Christ living in the midst of a twisted and crooked generation shine. And what is the means to that shining? Notice in this passage, he's not saying, shine. Get out there and shine. Get that light going. He's just saying, you do shine. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shine among a twisted and crooked generation. How? How do you shine? How do you shine? By holding fast to the word of life. And so we're going to look at this phrase in three different questions. One, we're going to say, what does it mean to hold fast? And then we're going to try to answer the question, why hold fast? Motivations to hold fast to this word of life. And then think for a few minutes on how. How can we hold fast? How can we cultivate in our lives this grip on the word of life? So what does it mean to hold fast to the word of life? What does Paul mean when he says here in Philippians 2 verse 16, holding fast? Well, we could look at a few other passages in the New Testament where this same word is used to kind of fill out what Paul might be getting at here. In Acts chapter 3, we have this interaction between a man and some of the apostles, and we see in verse 5 of chapter 3, it says, and the man, he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. So we have the apostles here, we have this man, and he encounters them, and he fixes his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And that word that we have in verse 16 of chapter 2 of Philippians is the same word that's used here in Acts 3, 5. And here it's translated, he fixed his attention. In Acts chapter 19, speaking of Paul in verse 22, Luke says, and having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. Here we have a slightly different meaning. The word here is translated as stayed. I think we might think of a military analogy when we talk about someone holding their position, right? They're holding fast to a particular ground. And that's why it's translated stayed here in Acts 19:22. He held his position. He remained there. We encounter the word again in 1 Timothy 4:16, where Paul, instructing young Timothy, says, keep a close watch. Keep a close watch. Give attention to yourself and to the teaching. Keep a close watch on your life and doctrine. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching, Paul said. And here our word is translated, keep a close watch. Persist in this, Paul says, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so as we put these pieces together, we kind of see the range of the word. In Acts 3:5, there we get that idea of fixing attention, paying careful attention. It's very similar to the idea in 1 Timothy 4:16, keeping a close watch, paying careful attention. In Acts 19, there we have this idea of holding a certain position. And so when Paul calls us to hold fast, when he says that it's by holding fast to the word of life that we will shine amongst a crooked and twisted generation, he's not talking about simply knowing the word of life. Right? He's not talking about just having the conceptual knowledge about this word of life that he's calling our attention to. Right? We can know things without fixing our attention on them. We can have words come to us and pass through us without ever paying careful attention, without ever grabbing hold of them, without ever standing on them. And so clearly Paul is calling for something else here. When we ask what does it mean to hold fast, we can contrast it with a casual knowledge of something. Just simply affirmation of something as true. Receiving something and then putting it away for another time. Here we're talking about something that demands a constant attention. Holding fast to the word of life, we're called to fix our attention on something. We're called to watch something closely. We're called to grip something and keep it tight against us. And so that's what Paul means when he says holding fast. It's something very different than a casual knowledge or a simply hearing and letting it slip away from our memory. It's something closer to what we experience with those words in our life that outside of our active engagement, we hold fast to simply because of the nature of those words, right? Those words of criticism that we try so hard to shake and yet they stick on. We turn them over in our minds, we reflect on them. Many times we shouldn't be. And yet here, that's the kind of grip that Paul calls us to with reference to the word of life. And so that's what it means to hold fast. But we ought to ask, why does he call us to hold fast? What motivations do we have to give careful and continuous and close attention to the word of life? And the first reason for why we should give ourselves to holding fast to the word of life is the very nature of that word. Central here, the word of life, what Paul is talking about is the message of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ that itself brings life. In Acts 5, the apostles are told by the angel to go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. They're to speak forth the message of life in Christ Jesus through his perfect life, death, resurrection on behalf of sinners. In Acts 13, we read, brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, among those among who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. The word of life, the message of salvation. It's the word of the gospel. Paul says in 2 Timothy, God, the one who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He could just as easily have said, brought life and immortality to light through the word of life. Notice the essential components of this word of life. It is not from our works, but it's by his own purpose and grace given in Christ Jesus. We see that it's from before the ages beginning, but now manifested in the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who abolished death and brought life and immortality through to light through the gospel, through the word of life. This is the word that you must hold fast to. In Titus chapter 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted. Here again we have this message, the manifestation of God's purpose, the hope of eternal life, promised before the ages beginning, at the proper time manifested in the word of the gospel message, the word of life, the message of salvation by faith alone. Grace alone, in Christ alone. And if we would unpack and unfold through the scriptures, we would see that this message is the message of this book from first to last. This message indeed always comes to us in words. The word of life is the message of what God has done in and for us in Jesus Christ. And so we can never separate the word of the gospel, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the words that we find here in his scriptures. Timothy Ward brings it together in this way. He says that the coming of the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ, does not alter the fact that for all who come after Christ, human language is the essential medium by which God acts in relation to us and presents himself to us in the offer of a covenant relationship with him in Christ. Human language is the essential medium by which God acts in relation to us and presents himself to us in the offer of a covenant relationship with him in Christ. We receive Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate, in words written and spoken. That is the medium through which we receive Jesus. And we have no other access to him but through words, written words that can be spoken. But God reveals himself to us here, savingly here. And so why is it so essential that we hold fast to the word of life? Centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ, and yet unfolded in all its fullness and all its glory from the first word to the last word of the scriptures. We'll just look at a couple of verses that give us more motivation to hold fast to these words as we find Jesus in his person and work here. One pastor gave a few scriptural examples, motivations to hold fast to the word. Because it's through the word of life, through the receiving of the gospel message that's given to us in all its fullness across the pages of Scripture, Because you and I need to grow in faith, and faith comes from hearing, Romans 10 says, hearing through the word of Christ. If you want to grow in faith in 2016, then you need to hold fast to the word. You need to give your attention to it. You need to hear it, because faith only comes through hearing. You cannot hope to increase in faith if you do not give something for your faith to grab onto. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Joy comes through the word of life. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you. I have spoken to you words of life, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. Brothers and sisters, if you would seek greater joy in 2017, then hold fast. Grip onto the word of life. Grab hold of the gospel. If you would be free, increasingly free from sin in 2017, it is through God's word, centered on Jesus, his perfect life, his substitutionary death, his justifying resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father. If you abide in my word, John 8:31 says, and 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ, and we receive his truth in the words of this book. Truly, clearly, sufficiently, savingly, by the work of the Spirit. If you would be sanctified, if you would grow in holiness, hold fast to the word of life. Jesus says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. If you would receive more of the Spirit, if you would know more of the Holy Spirit this year, do not set about seeking to earn his presence in your life. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Brothers and sisters, if you want to know more of the Holy Spirit this year, you must hold fast to the word of life in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through hearing with faith, you might know him more fully. Your life depends on it. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we hold fast to the word because of what the word is. The word is life to us. The word is the gospel, the good news of it is finished on the cross of Jesus Christ. The good news of justification by faith alone. The good news of receiving the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. The good news of union with Christ by faith, receiving all that Jesus is, all that he has accomplished, all that he has done, all that he has gotten for us. Receiving all the promises of God in him. We receive them through the word of life. And brothers and sisters, he calls us to hold fast to that word. Now just briefly, how can we go about holding fast this year? How can we go about holding fast to the word in 2017? The first way is giving ourselves to the fullness of the word. Read the scriptures this year. But you must read them rightly. You must read them as they present to you the word of life. You see, if you go about reading this book this year so that you can check off a box of doing your little reading plan, if you go about reading this book this year so that you can find steps to improve your behavior, if you simply read this word and don't see in it Jesus Christ from beginning to end, the gospel of grace from beginning to end, then you will miss it, because Jesus says you search the scriptures because you think that in them you will find life, but it is they that testify to me. And so give yourselves to this word this year in all of its fullness, but give yourselves to this word rightly. Seek Jesus in the word of God. Find Jesus in this word. Otherwise, you will seek life and you will find nothing but death. But if you read it seeking Him, if you read it that you might hold fast to the word of life, that you might cling to Jesus Christ as He gives Himself to you in the gospel and the good news of salvation by grace through faith alone, then you will find the words of life open to you, and you will find your grip strengthened on them. But don't just read the word. If we want to hold fast, if we want to give more attention, if we want to look closely and hold tightly the word of life, then reading is never sufficient. We see in Psalm 1 that to have the word of God truly saturate us and change us, we might meditate on it. We must meditate on the word. We don't want these words to simply pass us by like that stream of water, indistinguishable from the next phase of the river or whatever's coming after. We want to grab hold of the word of life, to grip it more tightly, to cherish it more deeply, to trust the God who gives Himself to us in it more fully. And in order to do that, we must meditate on it. The Puritans called meditation the halfway house between the scriptures and prayer. But meditation is also the essential means to transformation by the word. You see, that's what Paul's pointing us to. He's saying, by holding fast to the word of life, you shine among a twisted and crooked generation like stars, like lights in the world. It's by gripping it closely, by giving careful attention to it, by having it shape us as it sinks deep down into us, that it does its work in us, and that we shine like Paul says there in verse 15. So, what words are you going to hold fast to this year? I'll ask you here, if you're visiting with us and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, what words are you going to grip onto this year? What words are you going to give careful attention to this year? Are they words of criticism that crush you down? Are they words of praise? Are they words of promise of a new hope for a new year? Maybe a better job, maybe fixing things at home? What are you going to latch onto and put your hope in this year? What is offered to you here are words you can find nowhere else. No words you will encounter in this world, no matter how beautiful they sound, no matter how big the promises they make are, can never satisfy you, never change you, never give you the life that you so desperately need, but the word of life can. The gospel of Jesus Christ can. Brothers and sisters, what words will you grab tightly this year? What hopes do you have? If we would shine as lights in this world, we must hold fast to one thing: the word of life, the gospel of grace, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in Him alone that we find life and find it in its fullness. And so by His grace, would you join me this year in holding fast to the word of life. Let us let the gospel shape us. Let us cherish it more fully. You see, we need more of it. The gospel is not just the door by which we enter into the Christian faith. No, as many have said, it's the door and it's the floor and it's the walls and it's the roof and it's the whole building and it's the whole universe. And so hold fast to the word of life. It's only and finally there that we will look any different than the world around us. And it's only and finally there that we can offer anything to those that we meet in this life. Let's pray.